From a channeled message that Pam Padilano received to the ears of thousands of human beings all over the world, a message of love and hope for the future of the human race. On Awakened Soul Stories on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, Fridays at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m., we'll speak with awakened humans from all walks of life, living their true life purpose and sharing their experiences to help others gain the same knowledge. Her guests are inspiring and insightful with true life experiences that will bring you the peace and guidance your soul desires. Listen in on Fridays at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. as we give you the tips and tools to help live your best life and be of the highest vibration in this world and the next. Pam has helped hundreds of people navigate successfully on their path to understanding the one true consciousness.
Thank you for joining me for another episode of Awakened Soul Stories. My name is Pam Padilano, and I am your host. I have a wonderful show planned with a very special guest. Her name is Andrea Carlone. Andrea and I work together for the contact tracing program in the state of Connecticut, and that's how we met. She reached out, and we had, you know, several conversations, and I soon realized that she was a kindred spirit and had the same goals in mind that I do. And I couldn't wait to have her on the radio show because she has so much information to share with all of us. So welcome, Andrea. And again, thank you for joining me today. I am really excited to have you here. And just from our brief conversations, I realize that we have so much in common, including, you know, how our gifts began way back in the beginning when we were children. And I'm sure our audience would love to hear about that. So we'll get to that momentarily, but please share with us. Explain a little bit about what you do and how and why you do it. And then we'll delve into some of the, we'll unpack some of that for you.
Okay, cool. So I'm a empath, an intuitive empath, a highly sensitive person. I do healings of all kinds. I do sound and energy healing. I work with crystals. I am a Wiccan and I practice witchcraft, white witchcraft. Let's make that, clear.
That was a question.
Yeah. Because that has to be, I have to explain that a little bit later. I'm a pagan minister. And I'm a vocalist, and I've said, here we go, listen to this. My vocal career has been in the church. So I do weddings, and I do a lot of classical music, the Ave Maria and stuff like that. So
that's cool.
I have a friend here in Connecticut that we work together. He's a liturgical organist. So we have worked together for years. So I'm looking forward to hooking back up with him.
Now
right now it's kind of hard, but I'm kind of an eclectic kind of person, so
I didn't get that impression at all about you. there's no status quo with you.
Yeah, there's no limit.
No. See,
except it's all good.
I would guess you were an Aquarian because you're so eclectic and able to do so many different things.
And I'm not. I'm a Pisces.
Yeah, go figure. I'm a little confused by that. But that's okay. We'll take it.
Maybe I could say I'm an evolved Pisces.
You're not so laid back and just like, okay, whatever happens, happens. And this will take you right out of your comfort zone, right?
Yeah, it is. Definitely.
But
that's
so much
okay.
Fun.
I need to. I know. And I need to get out of it. I actually made a live Facebook this morning to tell everyone I was going to be on the show. And that was my first time ever. I'm like, all right, I might as well just get over it. So,
Once you dive it's very, I don't know. It's just freeing, you know, because you're just talking to everybody and people see you and, you know, you don't care what your hair looks like. And you have the same hair. You have the same hair issue.
I know we do, right? Thank God today's a good day for hair.
Yes, it's
no
cool
humidity.
Outside, right?
Yes.
People don't understand the pain.
No, it's terrible.
So tell me a little bit about how you got involved in like the Wicca and witchcraft and And explain the difference between, you know, white and black witches.
Well, the thing is that white witchcraft is, you know, you do good for other people and yourself. And the way I look at it is there's bad in every religious practice, even though witchcraft is a way of life. It's not considered a religion. Wicca is more of a, it's not really, it is a religion. It's not, it, there's no, I don't know. Well, witchcraft, you can be Wiccan and not a witch, or you could be both. You can't ever, you know, if you hear someone's Wiccan, it's not necessarily mean they're a witch. But what I liked, what I do with my witchcraft is I do healings. I have my altar. I use crystals to, it's kind of like if you want to, the law of attraction, that's a good way to picture witchcraft. It's a form of prayer. Every prayer, every religion has their prayers, right. But it's a way of life for me. I live it every day. So if like, okay, so I have my crystals all formed on a grid so that I can bring some abundance into my life. Mainly I need a job. I've had that up now for a few months and it's working. And the one thing when you do spell work or you put your emotions behind it, the more you're behind what you're needing or asking for, the more it will manifest. I work with the moon cycles. I love candles. Crystals. I used to do, when I was in a coven, I used to do rituals with a group. It wasn't anything negative. It was all positive. Mm-hmm. And they were all Reiki healers, actually. And it was fun. I had a good time. Of course, I was scared to death of it at first. So I wanted to know more. There was like two parts of me, the scared person and the one that was like, okay, what's this all about? I need to know. Because as a child, I was scared to death of all that stuff. It was not good.
Talk about that a little bit. Talk about like your beginnings in all of this and how you were different as a child.
Yeah, I felt very different, being very sensitive and being, you know, an empath. And I lived with my mother and my two sisters. So a house of all women. Okay, my mother was a Scorpio. My sister's a Cancer. So lots of emotions there. Oh, my boy. Other sister is Sag. But in any case, yeah. And I guess I didn't know it then, but I was affected by everything. I mean, people around me and you know, any kind of TV show or the news, I would freak out. When The Exorcist came on TV, what do you call it? The trailers, I would freak out. It was terrible. Oh. I was so scared I was going to be possessed. So it was like, it was a horrible time.
Oh my God,
and as I got old, yeah, it was really bad. My poor mother. But anyway, as I got older, like about 12, I started getting major panic attacks and depression. And that wasn't fun. And I was hospitalized for a while, a few months.
Is that from absorbing other people's emotions and you just didn't know?
Yeah, I didn't know it then. I just thought that, you know, what the hell's wrong with me? I just didn't know. And I thought I was I was not a well person and it didn't feel good. And, but when I got out, everything was different. Of course they had me heavily medicated, so I couldn't feel anything.
Oh no. Did your mother know?
I know.
Did your mother know?
No.
Like, what was going on with you? Or did it, you know, does she have any abilities or your sisters or somebody? In
well,
your
you know, nobody it's, Italian family. We didn't talk.
No.
nobody talks. <Right. laughs> Nobody even talked about what I was going through, you know, my panic or, you know, nobody talked. Yeah. So as things progressed and I felt like I was having, you know, the panic and the depression, I didn't know what to do because nobody was realizing it. I was trying to tell people I didn't feel good, but nobody really, my mother as it was had her own emotional issues. So in high school, I told one of the nuns I wasn't going home. I needed somebody to help me. So finally I got some help, which was great. I mean, I'm not knocking it, because I really feel, because I do work in the mental health field as well. So I feel it's very important to pay attention to your children, especially, and what they're going through.
Yep.
So at that point, yeah, I mean, once I got out of the hospital, my life changed dramatically. I wasn't afraid of anything anymore. So, I mean, I just understood. But the thing is, until I understood mentally how to retrain my you know, when you grow up in an Italian family, everything's a catastrophe anyway. My mother always looked at it that way. So it was hard. So I had to learn to retrain my thinking. And I did that first. And as I got older, you know, the book, what do you call it? The Da Vinci Code.
Yes.
That kind of opened my mind a little bit to other things. Because, you know, I was always in the church. And then I moved to Florida. And then I wasn't in the church anymore. But I never really felt quite like I belonged. And I was searching for something else. And then I watched the movie. And I heard some different things about, you know, Da Vinci and the, you know, what he believed in. So I started to do some research. I read some books on Wicca. I was very interested. I found a bookstore and I started going to the bookstore a lot. And I met some people that were in a coven and they invited me to come and you know, experience it, you know, like a Christmas, what they call it. Samhain is the Halloween, but we call it Samhain. It's the time when the veils are thin and you are, you know, the spirits from the other side are closer to us, our ancestors. So, you know, I learned a lot and I went to a ritual with them. And I liked it. I was like, oh, this is cool. I can get into this. But I was still scared. And of course, they used to tease me all the time. This is the day we sacrifice the virgin. And
I'm like, oh my God.
It's not going to be me. So.
At least you were anyway, honest about it.
Yeah, I know. We would laugh. They just thought it was funny. But no, it was great. And I stayed with them for a year and a day. I dedicated, and I was there a little bit longer than that, maybe like a year and a half. And then I had to move. I moved to Tampa from South Florida. So I left. And after that, I just did things by myself. They call that solitary. I would, you know, the sacred days and the moons, especially, I would honor the moons, the moon cycle, the full moon, the new moons, and do my work there. But I found that through that, it helped my panic just as much as retraining my thought process. I felt like I learned about being an empath. I learned about being a highly sensitive person. I learned how it all tied in. And then it started making sense to me. And then as that started making sense to me, my fears all dissipated. And I realized, being an empath, I've had people, and my friends never believe this, but no matter where I go, like somebody will sit down next to me and start telling me their life story or whatever's going on with them. And I'm like, okay, so I got to listen to this. And my friends are like, that does not happen. I go, yeah, it does. I went to buy a couch. The lady sat down on the couch with me, the saleswoman, and started bawling her eyes out that her husband left her for a younger woman. And I'm like, okay. All I really wanted to do is buy a couch. I sat and listened to her for an hour. And it's draining. It can be draining. But so now what I like to do, I've had friends that have said to me, you know, my child is going through this. Can you talk to them? And that's so, you know, I love to share my story with people, and anyone that needs to talk about it, that's what I open myself up to.
Right.
You know, anything that they need to, as far as that, I consider myself spiritual and nothing negative, nothing evil. I don't do evil. It's not who I am. And people that know me know that. But, you know, there's evil in everything, and anybody can take a practice and turn it into something. You know, I don't know a lot. And when you ask me what's the difference, to be honest with you, I don't know a lot about black magic, and I don't want to know, to be honest with you.
I don't blame you.
That would
I stay far away from that. That's not my thing. You know, anything I can put out there in the world that's good, that's what I want to do.
Where's your focus going forward? Because I feel like we're in a time that there's a big shift, and the shift could go either way. So we're sitting on this precipice, right? Of critical mass. We could go either way. Mankind can, you know, become extinct as we know it, or it can go forward and we can make a lot of positive changes. So, you know, and I got involved in all of this interviewing and talking to people because we needed to really get this message out there, right? Not about us. So to sit here and say, oh, I'm not sure if I want to do it. You and I both know that when the universe wants you to do something, your choice is taken away. I don't care about free will. And you can deny it as long as you want, but they keep throwing like these pebbles in your path. And be like, all right, fine.
Right.
You know, and when I got this message probably 10 years ago, it was basically the same message, but in a very different format. And it was, you know, you're gonna help people one at a time, and it's okay if they don't listen. You know, it was very like lackadaisical. When I got this message again back in January, it was like my head got slammed on the floor. They were like, listen, you have to do this. It has to be faster. Yeah. We have to hit more people. We're running out of time. You don't have a choice. And I was like, I didn't argue this time. I'm like, fine, what do you want me to do? And I said, who do I need to talk to? Like, who? I don't know. I've never interviewed people before. Who am I supposed to interview? And they just gave me your friends. I'm like, okay, so I have friends that do this work. I have friends that don't do this work. I have friends in the political world who have no clue about this work. You know, and it was very, all right, so now I have to figure this part out. You gave me these instructions, but with no guidance. When I started it, like with you, you were in my realm too. It was the first 12 people I asked said yes. Like, they didn't even argue with me. They're like, okay. I was like, what? Really? Okay. And that's how it's been since February. Like,
just wow.
Other. And then I was like, okay, so I'm running out of people to talk to. And then you texted me. You're like, hey, I'm like, okay, I see how this works. And that's how it's been. Like, people will reach out and be like,
yeah,
I want to be on your show. Okay, cool. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's get it.
And they should, because it's awesome. Get your message out. We need to group together, because that's where I'm headed to, the same as you. I want to put it out there. It's my calling. It's, you know, I haven't been through everything I've been through to not step up and do what we need to do.
It's
like an evolution to be there to help others and to help the world and to heal the world, you know, to help heal the world. So that's where we're all headed. Not all of us are headed there, but a lot of us are.
But you know what I noticed? Mm-hmm. It's like, part of it is, it's not about us personally, right? We're just the vessels to get the message out.
Right.
So it's like, you have to visualize yourself and your soul self, and your physical self has to step aside, and you just have to let it come in. And I'm watching it happen. I'm just like watching this happen. It's an interesting process, because you literally have to remove your ego from the situation.
Oh, right. I was just going to say that. Yeah, you do. Yeah.
So, you know, doing the work that we were doing for the state and the contact tracing really put you in the path of people that maybe like didn't vibrate at such a high level and that needed help. And, you know, the help isn't necessarily just getting the word out. The help is what we were doing. And it was way beyond interviews. It was about empathy
and connecting. Empathy and connecting.
Yeah. And these people,
I can't tell you how many people would be like, oh my God, thank you. God bless you. I needed to talk to you today. That was so great. You know what I mean? It was just all it's not ego. It's just, it would make me cry.
To feel
what you feel from these people, the thankfulness and the gratefulness. And okay, there were days there weren't some nice people, but you know, we dealt with that too.
And even within the organization, it taught me a lot about how I don't want to be.
Yes. Yeah.
It taught me a lot. You know, I'm not, and you know this because you worked with me, and I'm not the type of supervisor to micromanage people. I want to allow people to do you know, what they want to do. And they would come, some of my team would come and be like, oh, I don't know if this was right, but this is what I did. I'm like, do you feel good about it? Yep. Okay. Then it was right. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
You know,
I had a good manager too.
You did.
I had a good supervisor too. She's awesome. Yeah.
You know, in that process, we were still doing the work in just a different way. That was amazing. That was an amazing experience. You know, really was.
Oh, it was. I wouldn't pass that up for anything.
No.
I stopped working a full-time job just to do that. That's what I felt called to do. I just felt like I had to help.
Right. So, and that's a story you can tell, you know, your family in years down the line. Be like, this is what I did.
Know.
I worked during this pandemic. Yeah. This is what I did.
Yeah, exactly.
And you have a business, right?
Yes, Magical Wise.
What do you do there?
Well, nothing yet. I'm trying to build it up. But what I want to do is work with others that, you know, want to discover things in themselves, if they feel they have learn more about being, you know, if they're empathic or highly sensitive, they want to talk about it, if they want to learn more about it, even if they're interested in Wicca or witchcraft, I can teach that as well. It's just, you know, different aspects I can dabble. And I'd also like to use it to obviously maybe do some podcasts or do some blogs to get the message out. You know, it'd be fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
People in. I know. I don't know that it's going to be my full-time job, but I would like to work it into that. But it's definitely something I need to do because it's what I feel I'm called to do. So, you know, yeah, it's important.
It is important. And getting the message out is you have to have an audience to do it.
Right.
It doesn't need to be a radio show. It doesn't need to be a podcast.
No.
You can be up on stage doing TED Talks because I could see you doing that.
I could do that.
There's a lot of avenues now that weren't available 5 years ago. There's a man that I follow. His name is Jay Shetty. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've heard of him, but tune into him sometime. I've learned so much. I mean, he's probably 34 years old, but he was a monk for 3 years.
Oh, wow.
There's something so magical about listening to him. When I'm at the gym every day, that's what I listen to, is his podcast. Not Metallica. I listen to Jay Shetty. While I'm working out. But you know, he wasn't around 5 years ago. And it's amazing. Like, you know, Jerry and Esther Hicks and Jay Shetty.
Right.
Deepak Chopra and all these other people, like all of a sudden it's, you know, even Marianne Williamson. I mean, she was politics and it really,
I know,
it wasn't about the politics though. And because now people are watching her, right.
Yeah.
And they were watching her before, but her audience has changed.
Right.
So now she's got people that wouldn't, you know, she hit that mark. So now she has people interested that normally would have never watched her, never.
Right.
And now they're watching Marianne Williamson, you know, who was running for president of the United States.
I know.
So it's
definitely
it's the ones that are not uncommon, but you would never guess they would be involved in it. So it's again, we have to step out of ego. We also have to step out of judgment because the person that we might think would never. They absolutely are. And they're, you know, I see a lot of clients, and the clients that my clientele has changed, and I'm so excited about it because the people that are coming for readings or healings or whatever the case may be, realize that they have a mission here. Mm-hmm. Right. And they've been ignoring it all their life. And how do I tap into that? How do I get my gift? How do I make this work? How do I help people? Those are the questions I'm getting. Not, you know, is my husband cheating on me? And what's the lottery numbers? And, you know, all the stuff that it used to be. It's not like that anymore. I see a huge shift in this. And a lot of them are younger people, you know.
Yeah, we call them millennials, that's good.
But yeah.
Yes.
Definitely.
That's very good. Yeah. Yes. And I'm not psychic per se, but I'm clairvoyant. I'm claircognizant and clairsentient. And I know things and I feel things. And I don't know. I mean, I know it comes from my spirit guides, but it's like sometimes I still have an issue with like, wow, did I really know that? And it's when it happens, I'm like, wow, I really knew that. And so it still shocks me. But it's like, see, those are the things I want to work on with people to get them to realize, well, you know, you have this gift. You know, I have a really good friend that growing up, she grew up in Mexico, and she is a medium for sure. And it runs in her family. But she was always taught it was evil. And we went out for a while, and every time we'd go by a cemetery or whatever, she'd get sick to her stomach. And she'd tell me, they're always yelling at me and they're mad at me. I want them to go away. I said, well, you don't understand. They're trying to communicate with you and you don't want to hear it. So that's why they're getting mad at you. You're running from them and they know you can hear them. You know, so it's because you're not listening. And I don't think to this day she still does. So I'm not sure, but you know, it's things like that I can help people with. And just, even though I'm not, I understand it. Right. So, and I've been with people, I've lived in homes that have been haunted by spirits, and, you know, I'm not afraid of it because I know that it's just someone on the other side, maybe trying to get my attention. Or I've never been anywhere where it's bad, really bad. I've lived in a house where, I mean, I'd come in and sit down and then I'd hear a bang in the other room and the dishes would be flying off the shelves. I'm like, okay, you have my attention. Okay, you have my attention. And the homeowner knew. So if something broke, I wouldn't get blamed for it.
Well, that's a good thing.
It was always good. It was always good. So, you know, I can understand that aspect of things because they were people too once. And I watch some psychics, but I watch shows where the ghost hunters go out and I'm not into that.
No, because
they're people. And I just think I have to keep treating them kindly as long as they're being good to you.
Right.
You know, so there's just so many different things I've learned throughout the years that I would like to share with people that are interested and maybe don't have enough information and they're looking for avenues of where to find more information. You can come to my Facebook page, Magical Wise, and you know, you can write me or call me. My phone number's on there, but I have to put a website together too. I haven't done that yet. But
yeah, that would be a good thing.
Yeah, that's my next thing. It's a process, but it's got to be done. So
tell me about the healings that you do and how you do them.
Well, I do energy work. Mm-hmm. I don't really call. I'm a Reiki. I've been through the Reiki all the way to the Reiki 2 class, and I've had attunements, and that was a long time ago. But then I learned energy work in the coven and how to throw my energy and work with it. And so I've had so many people come to me and ask me, excuse me, to do distant healings for them. And I'm always doing them. People always ask me, can you send me some healing? So, you know, what I'll do is sit there. If I know them personally, I can visualize them in my mind and they tell me what's going on. And I work on I'm not per se sending them the healing. It's going through me from the universe that I'm asking to heal this person. So I've done that many, many times. Now, if I'm not feeling well, you know, I have to tell them I can't right now because my energy is down low. So, you know, I have to wait till I'm back up again. I'm certified as a sound healer. I use Tibetan bowls.
Yep.
I'm actually going to set my living room up with I have a massage table. I'm going to set that up. And if people want to come and do a sound healing, they can do that. I also I would love to do some concerts, and I want to use my voice. So I need to figure out how to implement that in as well. So
like chanting,
I'm not sure. Yeah, I could do chanting, but I could just do on different levels, just resonating sound and use that as a source of healing. And also I have drums, and you know, I could do a concert for sure. That would be fun. I have friends that do it, and it's always very relaxing and very healing. I go to see, I do their concerts, and I go on, usually they're online because of COVID recently, everything's online.
Yes. But
they're interesting, and I find them very relaxing. So, you know, I could do that. I do that mainly like if someone tells me they're not feeling well and I pick a time, you have to get someone's permission if you're going to do a healing on them. It's very important. So
yes,
as long as I have their permission, then we work out a time that I ask them to lay down in their bed or sit in a chair and be comfortable. We kind of set the time to do it and I'll sit and visualize and work with them. To help them. Yeah.
Do you pick up on their emotions while you're doing healings?
Yeah, sometimes I can. I have to be careful, but I do. It's more like if I'm in person, I can pick up on feelings easier than over the internet or over the phone. Well, I from the tone of voice, I can pick up things
right
when I'm talking to someone, and I could say something's not right. I can hear it in your voice. You know what I mean? So I can pick things up that way. But, you know, it just depends. I don't know how things happen with me. I can't explain. It just happens. Like, I can't do psychic work. Like, someone goes, oh, tell me what's going to happen with me. I don't know. I really don't. I don't, you know, it's like,
some
it's
days.
Not me. It's not. Some days I can. But, you know, I'll say, no, don't go there. Don't do that. But that's never really been the way it is. I'll know things. That's more like it.
Right.
And I'll say, look, I know something's going to happen with this person or, you know, nothing has ever. And I've had friends that say, you don't know it all. And I'm like, no, wait, you don't understand. When I say I know something, I know it. Don't even question it. Just, you know, it'll happen. But
it's just a question of when. You know,
yeah, that's the other thing too. When you're doing magic or you're putting your intentions out in the world, it may not happen on your own time.
Right.
You know, when you want it to happen, it's going to happen, but it's going to happen when it's supposed to happen. And you have to learn patience. And patience was something I've never had until, you know, I got older. And I learned to be a little bit more patient because it's very important. It's part of the process. And it's something people need to work on. Most of us do.
And the other part of that is, you know, we may ask for something that we think we need, but they're going to give us exactly what we're supposed to have.
Right.
So
exactly.
You might get it. It's just not going to be the way you asked for it.
Right. Exactly. Right? And that's the other thing about doing spell work that people don't understand when you do witchcraft. You have to be extremely specific because you could say you want something and it may, like you said, it may not be what you're thinking because you weren't specific enough.
Right.
You need to I would like a job. What kind of job? Be very specific. You have to, because you don't want to make a mistake. And I don't do spells for other people. I don't
can't,
do
right you can't
no well you're not supposed to, but people do. And you know, somebody said, oh, can you do a love spell for me? No, can't. I won't. No, I don't even do them for myself. So
no, because the work isn't
I don't want to draw someone to me because, you know, I want someone to come to me because they want to come to me, not because I did a spell on them.
Right. Because you never know. It's kind of like that movie Pet Sematary, right?
Yes.
You just don't know what you're going to get when you ask for stuff.
Yeah,
like
exactly. Exactly.
You know, it's funny. I think about that all the time.
I know. I may think I want that person, but I may not.
Right.
In the
right.
end.
Especially after being married for 24 hours.
I know.
Just kidding.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. That so was many. Another movie that bothered me. I had to leave the theater. When the child got hit by the truck, I couldn't handle it. I had to get up and leave.
Oh, and his little shoe. I know.
I know.
I was pregnant.
I finally did go back. Yeah. Oh God, it was heartbreaking to me. Awful. And I got up and left. But I did finally see the movie again. I did finally watch the whole thing. But that's what I mean about being really sensitive. I have to be careful what I watch. Although I saw The Exorcist 5 times now. So it's like I had to get over my fear. So I made myself do it. Now well, I won't
know,
watch
it's funny.
It again,
it's but. Funny that you talk about that because I, you know, I used to love horror movies and I am the biggest scaredy cat, even though I talk to dead people on a daily basis. But anything that has to do with, you know, the evil part of it still scares me because
me too.
You feel that. I mean, I've been in houses where there's been lower energies and it's
right.
You have to have all your defenses up because it's powerful if you allow it to be. And if you don't know how to handle it, it can be really dangerous.
Right.
You
know? So I've been to places. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. Finish. Go ahead.
I've been to places. I remember one time I was trying to rent an apartment and I went to one place and I couldn't take it. I was so sick when I got out of there. And the person, my roommate at the time, she's like, "Oh, you don't look good. What's wrong?" I said, "I'm not feeling good. I have to go sit in the car." And obviously we didn't rent that place because I could feel it. It was heavy, 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 and it was draining everything out of me and I had to get out of there. So yeah, I mean, it's not good.
It's hard
when that happens.
Those energies are, you know, they're relevant, they're here. And if people don't know how to deal with them, I mean, I get a lot of questions about that stuff. Just try not to put fear in people about it because it makes it a lot more powerful because they feed off fear. And people need to understand that. And it's not something to be messed with. I used to work with a paranormal group a long time ago. And, you know, I was the psychic, whatever you want to call me.
Right.
It was, you know, it became unethical for me to watch how they treated these spirits who are clearly human beings. Right. Whether they are here or they're on the other side. And it was, you know, it was like a joke and it was disrespectful. I felt like I was watching animals in a zoo. Right. Yeah. And how they would treat animals in a zoo. And it just made me sick to my stomach. And I had to stop because, you know, and I don't necessarily do investigations now, but if people have energies in their house that they want me to help move, I will certainly do that because we need to move them out of the way. And they're not necessarily negative energies. It's people that, you know, that are stuck here that need to be crossed over, that are confused, or, you know, we don't really know why. And sometimes they tell me and sometimes they don't tell me, you know, and that's all part of what we do is to help move that energy and get it going. And so it's not stagnant. Yeah. It doesn't stay here. And these poor people can reincarnate or whatever they decide to do with themselves.
Or move on. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Exactly.
I think people that do that work, I think it's important. I try not to do too much of it because it's exhausting, but
yes. Yeah.
You know,
I can feel energies. I just can't see. I don't see apparitions or anything like that.
They're usually not too bad. And they usually come to me like not how they died, but how they felt the best in their life. So I see them, you know, when they're the happiest. And it could have been a 90-year-old man.
That's good.
He'll come when he's 18, you know, he'll show me when he was 18 years old, but I still know who it is and why he's there.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of blessings involved in this work that we do. You know,
definitely.
You have to find those.
And I do house blessings for people. Yeah, definitely. I've done many, many house blessings for people. Not because there was any spirit activity, just because they moved into a new house and they wanted it blessed. And I remember some friends that I did a house blessing for tell me afterwards, "We have to tell you something. The lights in the back room never worked since we moved in here. And after you did the blessing, they all came on." I was like, "Get out of here, really?" I was like, "That's awesome."
That is
I don't know why they weren't working. They're like, "Now they work." I'm like, "That's great." So, but I haven't enjoyed that, doing that. That's okay. Go ahead.
Do you work with angels at all?
No, not usually. Haven't dabbled into that at all. But I do, I'm trying to think. I work with the gods and the goddesses, being Wiccan. And What I usually do is I follow, like when I started out, I would pick a goddess, a minor goddess to work with, something that had a goddess that has attributes that I would feel I needed in myself so that I could work with her to acquire those attributes and work on issues that I have. So see, it's a lot of psychological things with yeah. with Wicca, and you know, it's not just it's because it's not like supernatural magic, like I wish I could just wiggle my nose and things would happen, or you know, yeah. But it's there's a lot of psychology to it that people don't understand, and that's what's really cool about it, because I'm all into psychology, and you know, you learn about your higher self, your childlike self, and you learn how to work with your mind and open and expand it. And the more you can expand your mind, the more things you can manifest. I follow Greg Braden, and he's all into the quantum physics, but he's into a lot of other things too. And, you know, your mind is a wonderful tool.
Yes.
And the more, see, when you're doing witchcraft or you're in Wicca doing rituals, you have physical tools that you use. They're kind of like a way to open your mind up to what you're doing. They're reminders. Like you can use an athame to send energy out, which once you learn what you're doing, you don't need those tools anymore. Your mind is now trained to do it on its own without those tools. They're fun to use though. So, you know, but, but, you know, it's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of good stuff in learning this. There's a lot of psychology involved, I find. And I know that a lot of people would agree with me.
Oh yeah.
So that's important.
That's part and parcel of the energy work and the readings. Right. And I always say that, you know, half of it's a reading, half of it's a counseling session.
Right. Exactly.
they might come for one thing, but they get exactly what they need.
Yes, right. Exactly.
And they're happy about it.
And sometimes I know they're very happy about it. And sometimes I find that, you know, you use the cards. I use Oracle cards. That's what I like. But I end up reading them, you know, I'm looking at the cards, but things come to me then at that point about them. So I end up getting more across to them than I had already planned. And they're like, you know, oh, okay.
So, right. And then things come out of your mouth that as you're saying it, you're like, did I just say that?
I know.
So you're looking around, I'm looking around going, who, like, where did that just come from? Because that, you know, wasn't my thought process.
I know, right?
But I think that once we stop appreciating that part of it and stop learning, that, you know, our gifts probably diminish. If we learn, because you have to learn every day. You have to learn every day. Yep. Something new every day.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's important. Definitely. There's people out there that know way more than we do, you know, and it's just discerning.
You can't ever think
you are. Right.
I know. You can't ever think you know it all, because you don't. Right. So it's just, you learn every single day from someone new that comes into your life, or, you know, you read something new and then you start following the person that wrote. I mean, there's just so many possibilities, which is great. It's just a total learning process for the rest of your life. That's for sure.
It's funny because I did an interview with, I'm not sure what her name was, but she is the minister at one of the spiritualist churches in New London in Mystic. And she asked me during the interview, so where did you train? And I was really confused by that question. And I went, I haven't. What do you mean you haven't? How did you learn to do? I said, I was born like that. You know, my gift evolved as I grew, but apparently there's schools you can go to. And I just, you know, for me, it's, and I don't know if it's like this for you. Like, I started reading tarot cards in the beginning, and it was so hard for me. I felt like I was dyslexic because I would look at the card and go, okay, I'm getting messages up here. So why am I looking down there? So I right. kind of put the tools away, and I don't really, I have crystals, but I don't really use them. I keep one in my hand because I fidget. So it's yeah. hands are all over the place. So it's better to have something to keep my hand calm. But I just like learn to be like, all right, fine. All that peripheral stuff. It's I'm too like ADHD to focus on one thing when all this other stuff is going right. on. So I'll just like take the messages that they give me and pass them along to the person.
That's cool. You
know? And I think that's yeah. part of this process where we have to, things have to become quicker. So we need to get,
yeah.
we need to get the debris out of the way in order to clear the path for this.
Yeah. I'm not good at reading tarot cards. I mean, my friends say, oh, you're so good. You're so good. But I read from the book. I mean, but then as I'm reading from the book, all of a sudden I get something in my head and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Let me, and then I start elaborating, but I just can't, I've taken classes. I've done everything. I just can't, connect that well.
No,
the Oracle card's a lot better. Yeah. Yeah. The Oracle cards for me are a lot easier and I can connect better. So yeah, that's fun.
Yeah. We have to
one thing I wanted to, sure. Yeah, we definitely have to keep doing. One thing I wanted to mention before when we were talking about good and evil and stuff like that, there's so much evil let out in this world from people that are doing witchcraft per se that don't know what they're doing. They're using, in a, you know, case in point, Hasbro's Ouija board that ugh. Is not a game.
No.
It's just not a game and people use it and they let things out that shouldn't be let out. And hence we have a lot of issues in this world
right.
with that. And I have a hard time like when people tell me I've tried it once and I wouldn't be on the board. I was not going to be on the board. I'll do the writing. And my friends did it in a house that was supposedly haunted. Ugh, and it was, it didn't turn out well. but I stopped it before anything could be set free. It was asking to be set free. And I'm like, okay, that's it. We're closing this right now. That's it. We're done. And as I said that, there were two cats on the front of the house and they were like me, like screaming in the front of the house, freaked me out, freaked everybody out.
Ooh.
Two of the people just left. They're like, okay, we got to go now. It was like, yeah, it was creepy. It was really creepy. I've never liked the Ouija board. And, you know, I have friends that are into it, but not my thing.
No, it's a
portal. Really have to know. Yeah, you really have to know with portals what you're doing and how to protect yourself and how to close them when you're done, which nobody knows. A lot of people that play the game don't know what they're doing.
No,
so that's
they
really
don't.
Important. Yeah, they don't know how to close a portal. So
it's really
important.
It's a scary, that one does frighten me because I've seen the results of it and the effects yeah. of it when you play with something that you don't understand can be like, I mean, they follow my clients around for years
yeah.
and they don't understand yeah. why they don't get it. Where did I pick this up? And I yep. know because the energies that come out of it are lower vibration. I've never seen yeah. a happy energy come out of it. And I asked them, did you ever play with a Ouija board? And they're like, yeah, when I was like 16, there you go.
There you go.
There you go. You need to close, yep. you need to close this. You need to allow this entity to pass through you and just, you know, get rid of it once and for all, but they have no clue,
yeah.
you know,
I know.
They just have no clue. And that's a scary thing. So I'm like you said, I've noticed a lot of that in the recent past. Where people just, you know, they're haunted all their lives and they just don't even know why.
Yeah.
So if you don't understand something, don't play with it.
Don't mess around with it.
Right.
Definitely. Even witchcraft, anything you want to do, be careful. You know, you just can't say, oh, wake up one morning and say, oh, I'm a witch. I'm going to do this. And, you know, there's a lot of, I've been trained on even how to do hexes. Which I won't do, but I'm trained on it. And when I was in the coven, they train you. And we even studied a book of ethics on what to do and what not to do. And, you know, possibly if you want to do harm to somebody, it would be like a pedophile, someone that hurt your child or raped your family member or something like that might be okay. You know what I mean? If you retribution, but still you got to think about it because I also believe in karma. So.
And what you put out there comes back.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Three times three times three.
It doesn't matter if it's somebody who's evil or not. If you're intentionally putting something negative out there, you better duck because it's coming back to you. You know,
I know.
I've seen it happen.
When I was, yeah, definitely. When I was, here's a good story. When I was younger and I was just learning all this stuff, I had people in my life that at first everything was good and then they turned on me and we lived near each other. And I was not happy that they lived across from me. So I decided I was going to do a spell, but I was going to do something so that they would move, but they would have a place to go so they would not be homeless. So I was trying to like flip it so that I could get rid of them, but yet it wouldn't be a bad thing for them. So I did a mirror spell on them because they were right across from me. So I hung a mirror in my window and I did a spell on them. And a week later, there was a U-Haul truck on their front lawn. They got evicted and they moved in with another friend of mine that was being mean to me as well. So they all live together now and I didn't have to see them anymore. But I also did a spell on one person in that same group because they were being very mean to their partner because she couldn't find a job. And I said, you know, she needs to know what it's like to not have a job. And I put some energy out there into that. Well, at work, she got bit by a spider and she liked to smoke weed. So they sent her for workman's comp and they tested her for weed and she lost her job. I was like, oops. So, but it comes back to you because a few years later, stuff happened to me. If you see what I mean, karma, you got to really think about what you're doing because I had to go through some really bad times. And the first thing that came to my mind was, oh no, this is payback for what I did. So you got to be really careful. You do.
Right. But you can identify that, like the only way people learn that lesson is to identify what's coming back at you.
Yes, exactly. And it was the first thing that came to my mind was, oh, here it comes. Yeah. This is my time. karma.
There's a code of ethics when you do this work.
Yeah.
Mostly unspoken, but it's just like as if you were a doctor and it's like, first, do no harm.
Yes.
If this is going to harm somebody, don't do it.
Yeah.
Like, just don't do it.
Well, that's the Wiccan read. That's the Wiccan read. You know, harm none, do what ye will. So as long as you harm none. So it's very important.
No, because our job is to help humanity, you know, evolve into love and light. And I know that sounds like a cliche, but, you know, if we could reach that love critical mass. You know, and I was having a conversation yesterday and it made me think of this. I was having a conversation with one of my clients, because I did a reading party last night, and it was an unlikely client who I would have never thought would have been sitting across from me at a table. But, you know, he was talking about gratitude and how he wakes up every day because he comes from a very dysfunctional family and he didn't want to raise his kids that way. So, you know, he wakes up every day with gratitude. And we were talking about like some of these populations in the world, like India, for instance, and they have a lot of poverty and, you know, it's not an easy way of life, but those people wake up every day and find something to be grateful for every single day. And it's not like, I mean, I've never met anybody from that region of the world that's, you know, bitter or miserable or unhappy or, you know, and I've done computer programming with them and, you know, just other things and jobs that I've had and worked with a lot of these people, and never have I met any of them that were, you know, a poor me or entitled or it's just not like that. And, you know, if we could get back to that, take a look at that, those cultures, and just understand like where that love and that gratitude and that happiness comes from, we could accomplish so much. We could incorporate it in our work. And I don't even know if that's something that that you can teach, but it's something that comes from inside, right?
Inside of them. Oh, blessed. Definitely. Yes.
So it's just something I've been thinking a lot about, and it just happened to randomly come up in this conversation last night, which I couldn't, as I'm talking about it, I'm just like, this is like so bizarre. I'm in the middle of the woods in Forster, Rhode Island, having this conversation with this guy who's a farmer. You know, you just don't even think about the unlikely sources of all of this, but.
That's wild.
Yeah, and it was.
That's awesome. See, that's what's serendipity. That's what's, you know, really cool about things happening with us and our lives and the people we run into and the conversations we have, this especially the unexpected ones, definitely.
Those are the fun ones.
So they are.
So we have a couple of minutes left. So I want you to just let everybody know where they can get in touch with you and your phone number or your contact information.
Okay, great. So my email is magical, M-A-G-I-C-A-L dot wise, W-Y-Z-E at gmail.com. And my number is 860-471-9104. I'm also on Facebook under Magical Wise LLC. You can find me there. And that's it right now. I don't have... a website yet,
but you will, right?
Yeah, but I will. That's my next goal, is to make my website
good.
Yeah,
good. Well, so, yeah, it's exciting. I'm happy that you could join us, and I hope that you come back and we can do another round of this. It was a very
insightful,
interesting conversation. I'm glad we finally got together to be able to do this. So
I know, me too. This is great.
So don't hang up.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Awakened Soul Stories on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network with host Pam Padalano, airing every Friday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. Thank you for tuning in, and our hope is that we've awakened a fire in your soul and inspired you to tell your story and to make a difference. Call 401-533-1864 or email Pam at thetreeoflife222@gmail.com for more information on being a guest. Check out our archived episodes and like us on Facebook and Instagram at Awakened Soul Stories. We look forward to hearing from you and connecting with you on this spiritual journey.